Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Meta suspidiosum, meta tenebra, meta lacunarum. Sighs, tears, darkness. All of this and more coming to you tonight on the Video Nasty Project, because tonight's movie, we're going to be watching Dario Argento's Inferno. Check out the trailer.
I do not know what price I shall have to pay for breaking what we alchemists call silentium. The life experiences of our colleagues should warn us not to upset laymen by imposing our knowledge upon them.
The book!
There are mysterious parts in that book, but the only true mystery is that our very lives are governed by dead people.
In the beginning, there were three mothers, the same as there were three fates and three furies. Has always mistakenly called them by one terrifying name.
I'm afraid to be left alone.
My sister. Where is my sister?
It's as if I were constantly being watched. And at times, I think I actually feel a presence, as if someone were in the room with me.
Who lives in this damned house?
Someone who is waiting.
But who?
You are being watched.
Inferno. That was Inferno. We just got done seeing Inferno from Dario Argento.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Dario-ish. Very.
Yeah. Oh,
this is very Italian. This is very much Dario Argento.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens with Rose, and she's reading a book, The Three Mothers, and she's like, you know, their clues are found on the soles of your feet, and there's a clue in the basement and one other clue.
One really interesting touch that they did at the very beginning of the movie, where they start off with a male voice reading the voice or reading the book in Latin, and she goes and she grabs a Latin English dictionary and opens that up, and the Latin becomes English in the voiceover. I thought that was a really well done touch.
So Rose, she goes back to the bookshop where she got the three mothers from. Guys, closed because it's the middle of the night. But she goes over to the grate because apparently it's right next door to her house and Mother Darkness's lair.
Yeah.
She runs this big old brownstone with many, many rooms and only like three or four people inside. So she's all like, well, so the clue is in the basement, eh? And goes into the basement where she finds this hole in the floor that's probably about the size of a manhole cover, not very big. And it's filled with water. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's going to be like a puddle or something. Oh, no, it's an entire room down there.
Like a living room or a dining room or something.
Or a crypt.
Chandeliers.
It's hard to say.
If it was a crypt, it was a very well-decorated crypt.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah. There were a few things down there that kind of looked like coffins, but they might have been like tables or something. It was really hard to tell.
And she drops her keys down there. Oh, crap. Has to go get her keys. So she jumps into the little manhole-sized hole and finds the room and then gets attacked by a corpse! Kinda, sorta.
And that brings to mind the first question. What the fuck is she doing spending time trying to play with her with the brooch at the end of her keys? She grabs the keys and then she's just her hands are just there for a few seconds doing something. Looks like she wants to put it around her
wrist. It might have got tangled up in, well, it when it dropped initially, it got hung up on the chandelier. And then she was reaching for it and it fell even further.
Yeah, to the floor or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's playing with it and I'm thinking, she must be able to hold her breath a real long time. My lungs would have given out after about 10 seconds.
So the movie is really a series of these isolated scenes, kind of vignettes. So Rose, she has this story arc of like four or five scenes, and then she gets killed. And then Mark gets the letter from Rose in Rome, and he leaves it behind in class, and his classmate picks it up and goes and reads it, and she has this little mini adventure of like four or five scenes. And then Mark finally comes to Rome, and that's where he gets into the investigation proper, which is, you know, their protagonist doesn't show up 40, 45 minutes into the movie, which is weird.
Well, I mean, there's a brief scene where he's in the music class and he has and he's looking at the letter.
But that's all we get out of him. It's like, you know, 2 minutes at the very beginning and then nothing for the next 45.
Oh, yeah. It's really weird.
And that's much like an Italian movie. This movie is very much a dream state. It's very much weird set pieces and weird lighting and weird nonsensical. There's not a lot of connective tissue between the assorted vignettes.
No, the plot is about as substantial as wet Kleenex. You know, it really doesn't connect anything to anything else. And you could, like, put your fist right through it real easy.
But that's pretty much par for the course for the three mothers. Suspiria had a very loose narrative, too.
But I liked it a bit better than I liked this, even though it was still tenuous, but at least there it seemed like a little bit more coherent and connected.
I don't know. Maybe this was an afterthought, or maybe they were trying to crank out something in a period where everybody else was doing kind of more of the same. Maybe they had an idea and it kind of got bogged down with the shooting process and said, oh, we're going to do this and this.
Well, obviously this wasn't supposed to be a trilogy from the outset, because in Suspiria, there's not a lot of mythology building and a lot of world building. And you get a lot of that here. You get the architect who built all three houses. You get a lot of backstory on the three mothers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on that just wasn't existent in Suspiria.
The one thing that was interesting, though, is in this one, at least, they visually had a theme of fire throughout the whole thing. There's candles burning everywhere. And there's the one scene where, I think it was Rose, after she's done in the library, she's wandering around trying to find the exit, and she goes into the laboratory, workshop, I don't know what it is, but there's boiling pots everywhere, and there's this one beautiful scene where you've got a flame in the foreground and her in the midground, and they're superimposed so that it looks like she's right next to the flame. And that was like, that was gorgeous. I love that shot.
And that was one of those scenes that has absolutely no narrative business being in there, because she goes down there and she's finds the laboratory, and there's this creepy dude stirring some boil, eternal in trouble. And who are you? What are you doing here? Why do you kill, you know, the girl later on a little bit? Because she's the one that gets the decapitation.
Yeah.
That has no reason to be other than it looks cool. And it looks really fucking awesome.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Maybe that was his, you know, toil and trouble scene. He wanted to throw this in to kind of give the whole witch kind of thing that the Coven of Witches
I did notice a connection with another scene. There's a scene after the gal has been underwater and she's left. She left her lighter in the basement, and there was a black glove that picked it up. And I noticed that the guy in the lab or the workshop or whatever was wearing black silk gloves. And it's like, oh, okay, this is the same guy that picked up her lighter.
Being a Italian horror movie, black gloves are all over the place and not necessarily indicative of the killer.
Well, this is a good point. This is a very good point. But I did pick up on that. I did see that connection. It might not be a connection, but it looks like one.
So the one thing I want to get into, let's talk about the sound design for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the first question, which do you prefer, Goblin or Keith Emerson? Because Keith Emerson did the soundtrack to this, and it wasn't Goblin.
This guy was freaking brilliant. I love the soundtrack to this.
Yeah, and he has a definite different kind of energy, whereas mm-hmm. Goblin has their energies put towards kind of being a disco synth band with a lot of motifs, like, say, a jungle motif where you have bongos or something like that in your music, and a kind of airy sound to stuff, like some of the Dawn of the Dead music. This guy he's kind of the... I want to say heavy metal Gregorian choir.
I wouldn't necessarily put Emerson, Lake, and Palmer in heavy metal, but I can see where you're coming with the ominous chanting and the weird Latin at the end.
And it sounds like a rock. It sounds like a rock opera, but more horror. You know, horrifying than say Phantom of the Paradise or something. I mean, there's definitely, you know, a little bit of that tradition from the 70s, of those 70s rock operas.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, I definitely could see that sort of thing. Some of the sequences he uses much more classical type stuff, a lot of Gregorian chanting, but he also uses classical pieces. There's one sequence that's done all on piano that was really well done.
Oh, that was the scene where they were listening to the record and the fuse started going out?
Yeah.
I thought that scene was crazy effective because, so here's Mark's co-students, and she's at home, and Carlos, the man that she met in the elevator, that I'm really scared, please come hang out with me for a couple hours to help me calm down. And so they're sitting on the couch, and they're just chilling and having wine, because it's Italy, and all of a sudden the lights go off, and then they come back on, and they go off, and they come back on, and the record player stops and comes back on, and oh, it's probably just a fuse. Here, Carlos gets up, I'll go check it out, and he goes check it out, and you don't hear anything, and you don't hear anything. And she's all like, Carlos, where are you at? And she gets up and she starts walking down the corridor. And all the time, the light's going on and off, and the music is going on and off. And I thought the dead space of the music was really chilling.
I really liked that sequence, too, especially with the music leading up to the scene, and it was being the same sort of music in the scene where the record cutting in and out. It's like, it was really well done, and then there's the jump scare at the end of that sequence where you see Carlo with the knife in his neck.
The other sequence that had great sound, let's go back to the water-filled room.
And it just felt so claustrophobic. It felt like, okay, everybody here has been swimming. You know what it's like to have your head underwater and that roaring of water in your ears. Mm-hmm. It sounded an awful lot like that. It just sounded so claustrophobic, and water just crashing in on you was really effective.
I also felt very claustrophobic and cramped while watching that particular sequence. And I also felt cold. You know, it's like somehow the ambience of the visuals combined with the sound activated the part of my nervous system that made me feel cold, which is what you're supposed to feel when you're in weird, creepy water.
Exactly. This is a really fucking effective movie.
One of the things I like about this film is the use of colored gels in their lighting, particularly some of the more fantastic scenes, like when Mark basically pounds his way into the concrete floor and goes beneath and finds himself in the crawl space, and there's a lot of different colored lighting the farther back you go.
I think the color palette for Suspiria is a lot more vivid and bold and in your face, but I think this one still looks fucking gorgeous.
For exteriors as well as interiors. I mean, these guys know how to light, obviously. I mean, they definitely done their homework finding out what works for getting the best lighting for the mid-ground and the background and when something's happening far away. Like when that the guy in the food truck, you know, comes and murders the butler. The bookstore guy.
Yeah, okay, we should set this up. So the bookstore guy, he's a dick. And he's got cats that are coming in from the apartment building next door, the witch's cats. And he's like, fuck these cats, get these cats out of here. And then the witch is like, whatever, man, deal with it. And so he takes the cats and stuffs them in a bag and drags them to Central Park and throws them in the river and to drown them. And that's when he falls over and he starts, help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
He's on crutches.
He's on crutches. Yeah. He's paraplegic or whatever. Yeah. And so the hot dog truck guy, he's like, oh shit, I got to go help him. Comes running over and he's all being brave and heroic. And then he stabs the guy.
Well, he slices the back of his neck. Yeah. I thought he was going to cut his head off. And you never see his face clearly either. He's just this big hulking guy you expect to see in a hot dog truck in New York at Central Park late at night.
So this movie is very much a prime example of style and production over substance. Because there's not a lot of substance to this.
No. I had trouble with the ending.
Yeah, the movie really just kind of stopped, didn't it?
On the other hand, that's kind of typical of that type of storytelling. I mean, you get the doing a bad deed, power of evil. You get the purging, you know, power of fire that's supposed to kill evil, that sort of thing. And it's Italian, so there's always some kind of very European ending.
And I suppose, if to be completely fair, Suspiria also had a really abrupt ending. Susie stabs the witch, runs out, and then just stops. So I guess it's thematically appropriate for the series, at least thus far.
Yeah, so you've got the oldest of the witches, and the first one gets done in. You got the most powerful one, and the second one gets done in. That leaves one witch. But the question is, are they really dead? Or is it just evil goes from one place to another?
So, do you have anything else left you got to say?
No. I think I'm done.
Do you have anything else left?
I guess I was expecting a little more characterization of Mark. I mean, he felt just a little... I mean, he didn't feel thin, character-wise, but it's just I wasn't as drawn to his character as I feel I should have been.
None of the characters in this movie were really that well-developed. They were all pretty shallow and light.
Yeah, and he came in partway into it after these other after this first death happened, and it's kind of like he's picking up the ball on this thing, but it just felt like he was grasping at straws trying to find out, what the hell's going on here? You know, why am I here? What the fuck is this? This is my sister's place. You know, something's going on. I don't know what the hell's happening.
The movie is a series of false starts. You get Rose, and she has about 25 minutes of story, and then she gets killed. And the co-student, she has about 25 minutes of story, and then gets killed. So it's really hard to get attached to the characters overall because there's such a turnover of them.
Yeah, it's basically a revolving door of victims, whereas with a typical slasher movie like Friday the 13th, you're introduced to everybody right away. or yeah. at least they come trickling in the first 15 or 20 minutes. You get their personalities, and even though they're the kill of the day, you know who they are. You get their little quirks. One's a goof, one's a jock, one's the leader, and so on. So
they're all painted with broad strokes.
Right, but you at least get them right away, and you have enough time with them as a group or a pair or whatever.
Here you don't get that.
I cannot dispute that point. Yeah, you're right.
Actually, all of the characters are kind of like that.
Yeah,
even the pretty women.
They seem like pale imitations of better Argento characters.
The only character in this entire cast that really makes an impression is the third mother with a cat yeah. in the school because of those eyes. But yeah, the rest of them, you're right, not really making an impression on me. But then, this movie, style over substance.
This is like wall-to-wall style.
And I must say, though, some of the Italian actors are better at delivering lines in English than others, but they definitely have, I guess, some differences in style. Like the older woman, she was definitely one of the better ones with her delivery. I mean, the way she just chews up the scenery, when she, those teeth, you know, she's cackling and then she gets killed and everything. But she had enough gravitas to anchor the scene she was in, as opposed to the younger butler character who was more... Now, you talk about Dracula with the black hair and slicked back and everything. And I thought, this guy would make a really good vampire.
Yeah, well, and he's just like the bookseller.
Yeah, but this guy is really arch and he's younger, yeah. you know, and there's the whole, hello, madame, shall I draw your bath? And then all of a sudden it's, you know, we're gonna get her money. And, you know, I am the leader of the vampires.
All right, so there we go. Style over substance. But what you gonna do? Because it's Italian.
That's Italian. That's a wrap.
Ciao, Bella.
So, Inferno, was it appropriate to leave it off the list?
I'm going to go with being on the fence on this one. The general air of nastiness.
All right, that's kind of surprising. You know. Please, go on.
Okay, so there's animal cruelty, drowning cats, for no reason other than the character hates cats. Let's see, then there's the violence quotient against women for no reason other than it's set pieces to shock and disgust with the vile deaths. And then there's just, I don't know, it feels like one of those movies where you're going to dread every second of a particular scene, and then you're paid out.
All right, I am legitimately shocked that you would put it on the list, but all right, that's how your opinion works. How about you, Sansun?
I also would, only because of the cruelty of the cats.
The thing is, with the cruelty to cats, though, you don't actually see anything happen. It's all implied in there. Yeah. It was created in the bag with a motor, so it was just the wiggling there. The only time we get any animal cruelty was the mouse.
Yeah.
And that's actual on-screen, a mouse being eaten by a cat. So I could see them pegging for that.
It definitely has a weird Discordian creepy feel to it in the whole movie. However, I like that, but I could see how just that air, that atmosphere would kind of set some people off.
All right, I'm legitimately shocked because it wasn't that gross, it wasn't that moist. Yeah, it was violent, but I mean, The Beyond is way more violent, so I wouldn't put it on the list.
Well, as I said originally, I'm on the fence about it, leaning towards putting it on the list. So I'm definitely just...
Well, you got to pick one. Banned or not banned?
So, on the list.
All right, so there you have it. Banned, and I've got two wusses for friends because it's not on the list. So did you like Inferno?
Oh, yeah. I liked it. I mean, I like a lot of Argento's movies.
The movies you've seen of his, where would you fit in it?
Beneath Suspiria and Deep Red, Tenebrae Below, Deep Red. I know a lot of people would say that's counterintuitive, but it's just my personal taste when I saw it and why, for the reason I saw it.
So I'll put to you the question that I put to Ashley, that where would you put it in Dario Argento's filmography?
Well, I liked Deep Red better than this, and I liked Suspiria better, and I liked Tenebrae better. But I've also seen a few other titles of his that I don't remember the titles of, but I didn't like as well as I liked this. So,
Middle of the pack, then?
I would say middle of the pack, maybe a little bit towards the higher end. Because even though the the plot and the acting kind of needed a little bit of help. The cinematography was so amazing for this movie that that alone would bump it up a rung.
I'm going to go with, I love the hell out of it. I think I like Suspiria better. I think Deep Red was better. So there are movies up his list that I enjoy more, but I think this is a very solid entry. I love the hell out of it. So yeah, thumbs up for me.
I liked this movie in many respects. In other respects, I was either confused or displaced.
Say what you will about the plot. Yes, it's kind of flimsy, but you cannot deny that the movie looks fucking gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the music is really good. The cinematography, the lighting, the sets. I mean, there wasn't a single indoors moment where I didn't have the little hairs on the back of my neck standing up. Because you gotta hand it to him. He does the scenes really well.
Oh, consistently.
This time in his career. I mean, just a woman walking down the dark hall made me creeped out because you just knew something bad was going to happen because of the whole atmosphere and the pacing and the whole artistry of how it was done. But on the other hand, the plot was like wet tissue paper.
Yeah, I like the way he uses sets, but I also love the locations. Like, I believe the library was a location and not a large set. I mean,
the library was great.
Oh, this is Dario Argento. Hey, give him a biblioteca. You want the biblioteca, you shoot in here. He's enormous. He's huge. You arcade him. You know, and he's allowed to go in and get all these places with all these, you know, it's the value of every shot that really you get a lot of with Dario Argento.
So there we go. After a rough patch, after a couple of split decisions, we finally come to a movie that everybody can get behind. Mm-hmm. So go get behind this movie, and we'll catch you later.
Yeah.
All right, Dario, back on the shelf you go. That's it for Dario Argento for a while. We still have Suspiria to get through, but that's not for many, many, many moons now. Next week, on the other hand, is sure to incense the Pope and the Vatican and Catholics all around the world as a nun goes on a rampage in Killer Nun. Check back in next week. Drop us an email, thevideonastyproject@gmail.com, and stay evil!